Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Thursday, May 9th. Tired of the heat, reliefs on the horizon. Cold front set to bring high rain chances to West Texas. The story was written by Anthony Franz, newsroom meteorologist. May has gotten off to a hot start here in West Texas. 6 of the first 8 days this month have resulted in high temperatures in the 90s, well above average for early May. If you're tired of the heat, we have some good news. A cold front is set to move through West Texas Thursday evening, bringing multiple days of relief as well as increasing rain chances by Saturday. Here's how the next few days are expected to play out. Thursday's forecast. It'll be a beautiful, cool start to the day as early morning low temperatures will fall into the low 60s under clear skies and light winds. Temperatures will steadily increase throughout the morning, reaching 80 degrees between 10 and 11 a.m. Temperatures will continue to rise into the upper 80s and low 90s across West Texas by the late afternoon under bright sunshine. Midland Odessa's actual highs will depend on the timing of the cold front. There's a chance it could start to come through early in the afternoon around 2 p.m. If that happens, high temperatures will top out in the mid to upper 80s. However, if the front moves through after 4 p.m., highs will likely make it to the low 90s. Either way, Thursday evening will be much cooler in Midland Odessa. Temperatures are expected to drop into the 70s by 8 p.m., continuing to fall into the 60s by 10 p.m. Some wind gusts over 30 miles per hour are expected as well. Overnight lows will make it down into the upper 50s. Friday's forecast. Behind the cold front, temperatures will be much cooler starting on Friday. After lows fall into the upper 50s, temperatures will rise much more slowly throughout the day, topping out in the mid-70s by the afternoon. Moisture levels will be increasing too, resulting in partly to mostly cloudy skies across West Texas. There is a chance of a few showers, but rainfall totals will stay very low. Midland Odessa's overall chance of rain is 30%. Rain chance increase. By Saturday, moisture will continue to stream into West Texas, causing rain chances to increase to 60 to 70% during the afternoon and evening. An all-day rain event is not expected. Rather, West Texas will experience off-and-on showers and weak storms. Thanks to the showers and cloud cover, temperatures will stay 15 to 20 degrees below average. Highs are only expected to reach the upper 60s to near 70 degrees. A few showers may linger into the first half of Sunday. Rain totals will stay relatively low in West Texas. The National Blend of Models estimates between 0.25 and 0.5 inches of rain can be expected through the weekend. The higher totals are expected in the eastern Permian Basin, and slightly lower totals are more likely in the western Permian Basin. Temperatures will heat back up and rain chances will end early next week. Highs in the 80s are expected on Sunday and Monday, followed by the return to the 90s by Tuesday. AirTag helps team recover stolen gear. Girls' softball squad's equipment was worth over $26,000. The story was written by B.K. Richter. As the members of the Keller High School girls softball team readied themselves for an area playoff game in Midland last week, They never expected all of their equipment to be stolen from their charter bus. But that's exactly what happened just before midnight last Thursday, according to the Midland Police Department. However, thanks to an Apple AirTag, the softball equipment, which, according to police officials, was valued at $26,583, was eventually recovered in the neighboring city of Odessa. Quote, "One of the bags contained an Apple AirTag. This AirTag helped tremendously in the recovery of the stolen equipment," Midland Detective Tyler Thompson wrote in an email to the Reporter-Telegram. Police say the equipment was recovered in the city limits of Odessa on two separate occasions. Quote, "The first occasion was on Friday, May 3rd, where approximately six bags were located in an apartment complex off Andrews Highway," Thompson said. "The second occasion was on Saturday, May 4th, where numerous bats, gloves, and several bags were located on the side of the road near the intersection of U.S. Highway 385 and Loop 338, end quote. The recovery efforts were not just limited to the police department, as the Midland sports community rushed to the aid of the softball team. Chris Wilson of DBAT in Odessa donated several items to the team. Quote, "Hated that it happened, but glad we could help," Wilson said via email to the Reporter-Telegram. While police officials in Midland did not feel a travel advisory was necessary due to the theft, officers did advise not to leave any expensive items in vehicles. Midland authorities also said this type of incident is rare for the city, and charter buses have not been the target of thieves. Quote, "In the 3 years working as a property detective, this is my first theft from a charter bus that I have seen," Thompson said. "To my knowledge, this is the first time a high school team has been targeted in the 3 years I have worked on property crimes," end quote. The theft, however, did not deter the Keller girls softball team from winning their Midland Legacy High School game against Eastwood High School 4-2 last Friday. Ready to inspire. Midland ISD welcomes four new leaders, aims to enhance educational excellence. Midland ISD held a press conference Tuesday morning to introduce four new leaders within the school district. The administrators include a new executive director of leadership, as well as new principals for Midland Freshman High School, Legacy Freshman High School, and General Tommy Franks Elementary School. MISD Superintendent Dr. Stephanie Howard kicked off the press conference with a few opening statements welcoming the community and spoke about the importance of leadership. Quote, "We recognize the importance of our leaders," Howard said. "Our leaders, whether that's at the district or campus level, set the tone for the campus that they're leading or for the department or division that they're running," end quote. Howard said, "Good leadership makes a difference." Quote, "We've all worked for leaders that we loved and inspired us and empowered us to do the work that we do," she said. "And so we know that matters, and we are excited to announce four very strong leaders today," end quote. The MISD leaders announced were Fallon McLean as Executive Director of School Leadership, Misty Ring as Legacy Freshman High School Principal, Dr. Michelle Klein as Midland Freshman High School Principal, and Holly Sherrod as General Tommy Franks Elementary Principal. McLean joins Midland ISD after a career in Ector County ISD. Quote, "She demonstrates leadership by maintaining an A ranking where she leads a campus, where over 85% of the students are economically disadvantaged," Howard said. Ring has been in the district for 15 years. As principal of Legacy High School, she expects to take the reins of a school with unstable leadership. Quote, And what I mean by that is we have had a lot of leaders over a short amount of time, Howard said. And all of us in this work and in this profession know that it takes time to turn a campus around, and it also takes experience to step into campus that needs those immediate adjustments to be able to step in and make those adjustments from day one and not take a year of figuring out the best way to approach that, end quote. Klein will begin as the Midland Freshman High School principal, taking her away from her role as an associate principal at Midland High School. McLean said that getting the most fragile kids in front of the best teachers is pivotal to education. Quote, we have to make sure our most fragile kids are in front of our best teachers, and we have to get nothing but the best for our students because, honestly, they all can do it, she said during the press conference. I don't care where you come from. I don't know what your background is. We're here to teach, and you can learn at whatever level, end quote. Sherrod also spoke about continuing to build upon the success and the school culture at General Tommy Franks Elementary. Quote, students are the reason why I continue to do the work day in and day out, she said. When I started my teaching career in Midland 2 years ago, it was actually on this current campus when it was known as Crockett. So this campus and community holds a very special place in my heart, and I feel like it's just coming full circle for me, end quote. Permian Basin Ride of Silence to honor cyclists, raise awareness. The story was written by Ben Schaffer. The Permian Basin Ride of Silence will mourn local cyclists killed on the roads and aims to raise awareness of cyclists. May is National Bicycle Safety Month, and the 18th annual Permian Basin Ride of Silence is scheduled for May 15th at 7 p.m. The route will start and end at Mid-Cities Church, 8700 Texas Highway 191. The route is about 8 miles, going no faster than 12 miles per hour on the 191 access road to 158 and back. The group of cyclists will stop at ghost bikes along the route, which are placed near sites where cyclists were killed in the local area, to honor them. Those who cycle recreationally in races, commuters, and all who share the road are invited to ride. On the International Ride of Silence website, it states the first Ride of Silence event was organized by Chris Phelan in 2003 in Dallas, after an endurance cyclist named Larry Schwartz was hit by the mirror of a passing school bus and was killed. John Floyd, a local cyclist and the public health preparedness coordinator for the City of Midland Health Department, said the event aims to raise awareness for safe riding from both cyclists and motorists. Floyd said in the past 30 or so years, 18 bicyclists have been killed in the area. He said there have been countless near misses, and he was struck by a car while riding his bike locally. Quote, I don't want anybody else to go through what I had to go through, and I have lost friends. Just since 2018, the two that were killed outright and one that was so badly injured, and then just a few weeks after the pediatrician that was killed, I knew all four of the people involved in that, so it's very personal for me, he said. To ensure safety on local roads for all, Floyd said that both cyclists and motorists have a part to play. Quote, as bicyclists, we have a responsibility to make sure that we're following the rules of the road, that we're riding our bicycles in a predictable, safe fashion, he said. Floyd recommends that cyclists prioritize visibility while they ride on roads, making sure they have flashing lights attached to their person and cycle, wearing bright colored clothing, riding in a predictable fashion, riding with the flow of traffic, and wearing proper safety equipment, among other methods. Quote, for the cars, understand that the cars are sharing the road. Don't just look for other cars, Floyd said. Before the ride, there will be a ceremony including a reading, brief biography, and remembrance of members of the cycling community who have been killed. During the ride, there will be white bicycles set up along the route where the cyclists will stop and have a moment of silence. Quote, those are the white bicycles that are set up along the route close to where they were killed, so we're going to stop for a few minutes at each site, say a silent prayer, just stop and silently remember them, he said. The League of American Bicyclists also lists Bike to Work Week during May 13th through 19th, and Bike to Work Day is on May 17th. Helmets are required for the ride, and bright clothing and lights are highly recommended. One dead, several injured in Midland County crash. The story was written by B.K. Richter. One man was killed and multiple people were injured following a fatal collision in Midland County on Monday evening. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, 33-year-old Lorenzo Najera of Midland was pronounced dead at the scene after a collision at the intersection of FM 1788 and County Road 140 at about 6:30 p.m. The three-vehicle collision involved a 2018 Ford F-150, a 2024 Peterbilt 567 with a trailer, and a 2020 Chevy 2500. Najera was driving the Ford F-150 and had a woman and two children as passengers. The preliminary report showed 32-year-old Brenda Guerrero and two girls, aged 10 and 3, were transported to Midland Memorial Hospital and treated for minor injuries. Preliminary information in the traffic report showed that the Ford and the Peterbilt, with a towed trailer, were traveling southbound on FM 1788. The Chevy was traveling northbound on FM 1788. The Ford failed to pass the Peterbilt to the right safely and struck the front right side of the Peterbilt. The report indicated that Najera then lost control of the Ford and traveled into oncoming traffic where the vehicle was struck by the Chevy. The Ford veered off the roadway to the east and caught fire. Following the incident, Najera was pronounced dead by the Midland County death investigator. The driver of the Peterbilt, 34-year-old Jared Todd South of Gulf Shores, Alabama, was not injured. The driver of the Chevy, 64-year-old Juan Diaz-Veloz of Midland, was transported to Midland Memorial Hospital with minor injuries. The crash remains under investigation, and no further information is available. Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, May 9th. Daniel DeLeon Sr. passed away on May 3rd at the age of 68. Born in 1956 in Midland to the late Jose Sr. and Rebecca DeLeon, Daniel leaves behind a legacy of love, generosity, and hard work. Daniel's devotion to his wife, Antonia, was evident in their 50 years of marriage, a bond that was the cornerstone of his life. Daniel was preceded in death by his parents, Jose de Leon Sr. and Rebecca Mejia de Leon, brothers Ray de Leon, Joe de Leon Jr., Pablo de Leon, a sister, Juanita Ramirez, and brother-in-law, Roger Peña Sr. He is survived by his wife, Antonia de Leon, sisters Maria Elva de Leon, Aloisa Gonzalez, Ruth Venegas, Rebecca de Leon, brothers Pedro de Leon, Luis Ray de Leon, sons Nick Martinez, Daniel DeLeon Jr., David DeLeon, Jonathan de Leon, and Joseph de Leon. He is also survived by several grandchildren. Gladys Thompson passed away, surrounded by loved ones, on Wednesday, May 1st, at the age of 75. A visitation will be from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Friday, May 10th, at Nally Pickle and Wutz Funeral Home in Big Spring. Services will be held at 11 a.m. on Saturday, May 11th, at First Methodist Church of Big Spring. Interment will follow at Trinity Memorial Park. Gladys was born in 1948 in Littlefield, Texas, to Alexander and Bessie Strandler. She had many friends and was a well-loved member in the community of Big Spring. She was raised in Midland, Texas, where she met and married her husband, Dickie Thompson. She eventually moved to Big Spring, where she raised their three children. While living in Big Spring, she pursued a career in banking. Gladys is survived by her three children, Eric Thompson, Katrina Thompson, Butler, and Richard Thompson. She is also survived by two brothers and two sisters, Alexander Strambler and Marcus Strambler, Gracie White, and Hattie Tenen. She is also survived by four grandchildren and two great-grandchildren. Gladys was preceded in death by her beloved parents, Alexander and Bessie Strambler, along with seven brothers, Willie Lee, Reverend Ferris Lee, Bobby Ray, Charles Ray, Reverend Alan B., Jerry Lee, and Teddy Joe, as well as one sister, Margie Goodley. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to Alzheimer's Association. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory in Big Spring. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Carl Eugene Crawford of Midland passed away peacefully at his home on Saturday, May 4th. The family will receive friends for visitation on Friday, May 10th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home. Funeral services have been scheduled for Saturday, May 11th at 2 p.m. at Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home with Reverend Rick Holloman officiating. Interment will follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Please visit ellisfunerals.com to leave online condolences. Israel Urias Flores, age 62 of Midland, passed away on Monday, May 6th. Viewing will be Thursday, May 9th from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. with a rosary to be recited at 7 p.m. at Heavenly Gate Funeral Home Chapel. Arrangements were made with Heavenly Gate Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit the website at www.heavenlygatefh.com.
OCA Senior gets full ride to Dartmouth. When she visited Dartmouth College after being accepted, Andrea Soto felt like she was home. The Odessa Collegiate Academy senior will have a full scholarship to the Hanover, New Hampshire institution through the Quest Bridge College Match Program. She will also earn an associate degree in biology from Odessa College. Graduation is May 10th and 11th at the Ector County Coliseum. Commencement on May 10th is at 6 p.m. and May 11th is at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. My mom and I were doing some research on how I was going to be able to afford college, and we found this QuestBridge program. I also got recommended by a previous senior from last year. I applied. They accepted me as a QuestBridge scholar. They were able to give me a lot of resources to be able to apply to more colleges and know that this was a possibility, Soto said. She was beyond thrilled when she found out she was accepted to Dartmouth. "I was shaking," Soto said. "I was so excited because these were like the last schools that had to get back to me, and I really wanted this school to accept me, especially because of how much I felt like it would fit me. Then they did, and I think I screamed. I was so happy. It was great. I was so excited," Soto said. She added that she jokes that the school is perfect for her because its color is green, and green is her favorite color. She even has green in her hair. Looking back, she never thought she would be heading somewhere like Dartmouth. She plans a double major in neuroscience and music. Soto added that her major has been switching around a little bit, but her objective is the same. "My end goal is to be a doctor, hopefully a neonatologist," she said. Once she went there, it felt like home, and she also loves that it's small. One of the reasons she chose OCA is that it was like a small community, so you can get to know your teachers and classmates. Then choosing Dartmouth was the same. It's a smaller school. There's a very strong undergrad focus, so the teachers are very focused on the undergraduate students, and you can create more relationships with your professors, and you don't have that many classmates to be competing against. You can focus more on collaborating with them. "I love it so much, it's great," Soto said. Dartmouth Medical School is the Geisel School of Medicine, named for Audrey and Theodore Geisel. Geisel, also known as Dr. Seuss, went to school at Dartmouth. Soto is from Caracas, Venezuela, but has been in Ector County ISD since third grade. "Stuff over there got pretty bad politically and safety-wise, so my mom changed her career because she was a lawyer over there, and she changed her career to be a teacher here in EC-ISD. That's how we ended up coming here. Right now she is a special bilingual specialist, so she's downtown," Soto said. Soto has been at OCA for 4 years and said graduating is bittersweet. OCA Principal James Romage said, "Soto is absolutely amazing and is one of the brightest students he's seen in his 30-year career. She is one of 98 seniors set to graduate May 17th at the OC Sports Center." Romage said Soto is well-prepared academically, socially, and maturity-wise to go to an Ivy League school. "She has the adult skills to be successful there, and we're extremely proud of her," he said. Once they learned about her 1590 on the SATs, they knew top schools would be looking at Soto. She even wants to take it again to see if she can get a perfect 1600 score. Romage added that she is definitely a student leader and helped create the SAT club with one of the teachers. "We definitely will keep in touch with her. She's going to have an amazing life and career, and we are just very proud of her," Romage said. OC graduations this weekend. More than 1,000 Odessa College students will walk in the commencement ceremonies this weekend for degree and certificate recipients. Ceremonies are set for 6 p.m. May 10th and 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. May 11th at the Ector County Coliseum, 4201 Andrews Highway. Friday's ceremony includes 426 graduate candidates of the Bachelor of Applied Science and Arts and the School of Business and Industry. Saturday's morning ceremony includes 351 graduate candidates in the School of Liberal Arts and Education and the Texas Certificate of High School Equivalency. The 2 p.m. Saturday ceremony has 283 graduate candidates from the School of Health and Sciences and Continuing Education. OPD Honor Guard pays tribute to fallen heroes. The Odessa Police Department Honor Guard recently had the privilege of attending funerals for two fallen officers in Houston and Corpus Christi. Fallen Harris County Sheriff's Deputy Investigator John H. Cadow III passed away last month while assisting a motorist during a crash. Cadow has been with the Harris County Sheriff's Office for over 20 years and was a U.S. Army veteran. Fallen Corpus Christi officer Kyle Hicks was shot while responding to a domestic disturbance and passed away 4 days later. Hicks is survived by his wife and four kids. The Odessa Police Department would like to extend its condolences to families of both officers. City asks residents to conserve water. Update: the break has been isolated and the plant is back online. Water use can continue as normal. The City of Odessa is asking everyone to conserve water after a contractor at the water treatment plant hit a 12-inch line. To fix it, they have to shut the water off. A news release said they have enough water that should keep the city from being impacted. It is expected to be repaired before the city would run out of water. As a precautionary measure, the city asks that residents only use water as needed, only flush toilets as necessary, do not wash dishes or irrigate outside, only use water for drinking, cooking, cleaning, and toilet flushing when necessary. We are working on resolving this as soon as possible, the release said. This follows several water main breaks in the city over the past week. Police Memorial Service. The Odessa Police Department will hold a memorial service to honor all fallen officers across Texas, along with our local officers in Odessa, Midland, and Lubbock, at 10 a.m. Thursday, May 9th at Sunset Funeral Home. The public is invited to attend this memorial service. The week of May 12th through 18th has been designated as National Police Memorial Week. This week is set aside to recognize the service and sacrifice of U.S. law enforcement that have been killed in the line of duty. The public is encouraged to replace their porch lights with blue bulbs beginning Sunday, May 12th through Saturday, May 18th, to honor all police officers who have been killed in the line of duty. National Salvation Army Week coming up. The Salvation Army in Midland, Odessa is celebrating National Salvation Army Week, May 13th through 19th. Since 1956, the Salvation Army has faithfully and consistently worked to help those in need from our community 365 days a year, aiding individuals and families who may find themselves in crisis, shelter to those experiencing homelessness, food and meals to the hungry, utility assistance, ID assistance, and much more. In 1954, the week of November 18th through December 4th, now recognized in May, was declared by the United States Congress and proclaimed by President Dwight D. Eisenhower to be the first National Salvation Army Week as a reminder to Americans to give freely of themselves. To help celebrate National Salvation Army Week, the Salvation Army of Midland, Odessa will host the annual Restoration Celebration Dinner on May 16th, complete with a special treat for all Dallas Cowboy fans. The event will feature a Q&A with former Dallas Cowboys coach and football Night in America analyst Jason Garrett. The dinner will begin at 7 p.m., preceded by a VIP reception at the Midland Country Club, 1601 North Highway 349 Midland. The fundraiser is a celebration of lives restored and will include testimonies from shelter clients, great food, live and silent auctions, all hosted by News West 9 anchor Alex Camerata, the MC for the evening. Scholarships, underwriting opportunities, and individual tickets are still available at www.salvationarmymidland.org. With more than 7,000 centers of operation in the United States and services that reach every zip code in Texas, the Salvation Army is uniquely positioned to love beyond and meet needs in Jesus' name without discrimination wherever it exists. For more information or to make a donation, please call the Salvation Army at Midland, Odessa at 432-683-3614 or visit them at 600 East Wall Street, Midland, or online at www.salvationarmymidland.org. Midland man killed in fiery crash. a Midland man was killed and four people injured in a three-vehicle crash in Midland County Monday night. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, a preliminary investigation revealed the driver of a Ford F-150, Lorenzo Najara, 33, struck a tractor trailer he was trying to pass on southbound FM 1788 around 6:30 p.m. Najara lost control of his vehicle and traveled into oncoming traffic and was struck by a Chevrolet 2500. Najara's vehicle was thrown off the road and engulfed in flames, according to DPS. Najara was pronounced dead at the scene, and his passengers, two girls ages 3 and 10, and a 32-year-old woman were taken to Midland Memorial Hospital with minor injuries. The driver of the Chevy was also taken to the hospital with minor injuries, but the driver of the tractor trailer was uninjured. The crash remains under investigation. Obituaries: Andrew Austin, Andy Burke. Andy Burke, age 67, went to heaven in the spiritual sense from his home in Odessa at dawn, Sunday morning, May 5th. He died of ESLD and kidney disease. A private graveside memorial is to be Wednesday, May 8th at Sunset Memorial in Odessa, 3 p.m. Dr. McCrary will be officiating. Kevin Lamonte Fitz. Kevin Lamonte Fitz died Tuesday, April 30th in Odessa. Services are pending with Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Floyd Bedford Henson. Floyd Bedford Henson, 91, of Odessa, died Friday, May 3rd in Odessa. Celebration of life will be held at 2 p.m. May 14th at Highland Methodist Church. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Louis Joseph Natase. No services have been scheduled. Louis Joseph Natase, 91, of Odessa, died Thursday, May 2nd in Odessa. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Olaf Sahu Samaniago. Olaf Sahu Samaniago, 37, of Odessa, died Sunday, May 5th in Richardson. Chapel service will be held at 10 a.m. May 11th. At La Paz Funeral Home, burial will follow at Ector County Cemetery, Deacon Alfonso Marino officiating. Barbara Wayne O'Neill. On May 2, 1924, Barbara Wayne O'Neill passed peacefully surrounded by her family. The family is having a celebration of life on May 11th at 2 p.m. at Odessa Bible Church in Odessa. If you cannot join in person, a virtual option will be available at Odessa Bible Church. Eva Mayola Kasparik Presswood. Eva Mayola Presswood Kasparik, 91, of Midland, died Friday, May 3rd, in Midland. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. May 8th at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Reverend Dr. Jimmy Raswell officiating. Jane Austin Bush Sedate. Jane Austin Bush Sedate, a cherished educator, beloved mother, and accomplished artist, peacefully passed away on May 4th in McKinney, surrounded by her devoted family. Jane's life and legacy will be celebrated at Sunset Memorial Gardens Friday, May 10th at 1 p.m. In lieu of flowers, please consider donating to your favorite charity. Panel reviews heart disease risks prevention. With cardiovascular disease being the number one killer of women, a panel of medical experts on Wednesday offered tips on prevention and lifestyle that could help save lives during the Go Red for Women luncheon at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. Mrs. America Regina Stock said, "Women need to be selfish about loving and valuing yourself enough to do a little self-care and keep yourself healthy mentally and physically. As mothers, we want the best for our children, and if nobody has ever told you, let me be the first. It's okay to want the best for yourself as well, because, honey, you deserve it. And the men in here, you deserve it too, Stock said. MC Stephanie Rivas said, the American Heart Association's mission is to create a world of longer, healthier lives. Cardiovascular disease is the number one killer of women. It claims more lives than all forms of cancer combined, but many incidences of cardiovascular disease can be prevented through healthy lifestyle changes, Rivas said. She added that this is important to her because she's on the other side of 50 and her dad has heart disease. Her doctor told her her cholesterol was higher than he would like. Oh yes, I'm already at risk even before all of the other mentioned things. Whatever your reason for being here today, there is no greater force than women united for purpose and connected by passion. We all must act now to protect women's heart health and well-being at all ages. Our hope is that you leave this event today ready to be an agent of change for all women. I want all of us to commit to being the beat for ourselves and supporting one another in our individual health journeys, because together there is nothing that a woman cannot achieve, Riva said. She added that the leadership of Sidney Gore, chair of the committee that organized the luncheon, enabled them to raise more than $120,000 toward the Go Red for Women life-saving mission. Rivas said the number would go up even more on Wednesday. The expert panelists included Dr. Catherine Hutton, assistant professor of obstetrics and gynecology, assistant clerkship director OBGYN, and regional director for the Laura W. Bush Institute for Women's Health, Dr. Stephanie Kubicek, board certified in internal medicine, Dr. Manohar Anjarkula, board certified in cardiovascular disease and interventional cardiology, and pharmacist Kelsey Porter, founder of Porter Wellness Functional Medicine Consulting. Our discussion is going to be focused on the American Heart Association's Life Essential 8. This lifestyle checklist highlights the most crucial elements for maintaining cardiovascular health. These include maintaining a healthy diet, abstaining from smoking or vaping, engaging in physical activity, controlling blood pressure and weight, managing cholesterol and blood sugar levels, and recently prioritizing healthy sleeping, Riva said. She noted that recent studies have shown the crucial role of sleep in heart and brain health. By considering these health and lifestyle factors, individuals and healthcare providers can then evaluate cardiovascular risk and develop strategies to reduce the risk of heart disease, stroke, and other chronic conditions, Rivas added. Hutton said there are things that can happen during pregnancy that can be used to predict cardiovascular disease later in life. If you've been diagnosed in pregnancy with high blood pressure, gestational hypertension, preeclampsia, eclampsia, peripartum cardiomyopathy, gestational diabetes, these are very important things that happen during pregnancy that we control, and then we tend to kind of forget about them. So I would encourage you to definitely tell your primary care provider about these diseases and conditions that you've had during pregnancy, because they can increase your risk for cardiovascular disease up to sixfold later in life, Hutton said. Kubicek said one of the biggest reasons for everything is stress. Whether it's the way you eat, becoming a diabetic, and then eventually having high cholesterol, or whether it's the way we don't deal with our stress and we don't exercise. I also think that all of these things are very important. But stress is one of the biggest factors that leads to everything, Kubicek said. As a cardiologist, Anjarkula said diabetes is very highly correlated to heart disease and diabetes is very prevalent. Diabetes is on the rise because of the lifestyle changes in dietary habits, sedentary lifestyle and exercise. It's becoming a pandemic, Angiarkula said. He added, controlling diabetes is an important factor in preventing heart disease. Porter said, as a functional pharmacist, eating healthy is the most important to her. Every single thing that you eat is not only providing fuel to your body to function, but it's providing information. Every single different color of food that you introduce into your body has different phytonutrients, different phytochemicals that are supporting all of the many processes in your body, she said. Porter said if you go to the American Heart Association website to learn more about the Essential Eight, it talks about how to support each one because diet really does lay a foundation to prevent these different disease states. Even making minor changes, like not eating out as much and choosing vegetables, can help. Start slow and that will start a pattern. State of oil examined at OC. Texas Tribune Forum reviews various facets of energy industry. The Permian Basin's energy industry is a very complex equation, but the region shows every sign of being well able to manage it. That's part of what speakers at Wednesday's Texas Tribune Forum on West Texas, the State of Oil, in the Zant Community Room at the Salisbury Campus Center at Odessa College, where 40 people heard three experts on the subject. Moderated by the Tribune's Basin correspondent, Carlos Nogueras Ramos, the noon luncheon featured Permian Basin Petroleum Association Executive Vice President Stephen Robertson, Midland Hispanic Chamber of Commerce CEO Savannah Morales, and John Wood Group Director for Decarbonization Catherine Zimmerman of Houston. The Texas Tribune is an online news outlet based in Austin. Robertson began by noting that the basin last year produced 42% of America's oil and 20% of its natural gas, meaning that if Texas were a nation, it would be the fourth largest oil nation in the world. 20 years ago in this region, the joke was, who will be the last to shut off the lights, Robertson said, adding that the development of technology spawned the turnaround. People thought we were at the end of our life. We've been producing oil and gas here for over 100 years, and this is just a continuation of where we came from. Robertson said, the benefits that the basin and the state of Texas derive from oil and gas are often expressed in terms of tax revenue and royalties, but that's missing a big part of the picture. For example, he said, the Salisbury Oil Field Manufacturing Company financed the construction of the Salisbury Campus Center, and Odessa oilman Kirk Edwards sponsored the D. Kirk Edwards Family Human Performance Center at the University of Texas Permian Basin. These things were only possible because of the Salisbury family and Kirk Edwards, Robertson said. Education will equip the next generation with the tools they need. He said the world used the most energy ever last year, and the basin played a major role in supplying it. That doesn't mean we're addicted to oil and gas, Robertson said. It means that energy makes people's lives better. He said the oil and gas taxes from southeast New Mexico, which is part of the Permian Basin, amounted to half of New Mexico state's revenues and finance public school education, roads, health care, and other benefits. Morales said, oil companies buy uniforms for youth sports, and the industry supports mom-and-pop stores and other small businesses around the area as well-paid oil field workers patronize them. The industry offers the opportunity to go from entry level to the CEO of a company, he said. It touches every aspect of our lives. Zimmerman said, oil and gas, in her view, has two facets, energy security, providing clean, affordable, reliable energy, and energy transition, focusing on emissions. We work on the cheapest, most effective ways to reduce emissions, said Zimmerman, an engineer. We ask, where is the methane going, and can we keep it inside the pipes? We have to figure out what makes the most sense for decarbonization. Pfluger Fischbach introduced legislation to block taxpayer-funded health care for illegal immigrants. Congressman August Pfluger took a bold stance Wednesday to safeguard American taxpayers' hard-earned dollars by introducing a Congressional Review Act to strike President Biden's taxpayer subsidies to illegal immigrants, with Representative Michelle Fischbach, Minnesota 07. This crucial legislation aims to prevent taxpayer funds from being used to provide health care benefits to illegal immigrants under the Biden administration's new rule, a news release said. The Biden administration's recent move to extend eligibility for federally funded benefits, including health care under the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, to illegal immigrants is a blatant misuse of taxpayer dollars and against federal statute. When Obamacare was first created in 2009, President Barack Obama told a joint session of Congress, "There are also those who claim that our reform efforts would ensure illegal immigrants. This too is false. Under President Biden's rule, an estimated $300 million annually would be allocated to provide government subsidies, health care insurance to approximately 100,000 illegal aliens," the release said. Congressman Pfluger vehemently opposes this misuse of taxpayer funds and is committed to upholding the rule of law. He emphasized that providing health care benefits to illegal immigrants on the taxpayer's dime not only undermines the integrity of our nation's legal immigration system, but also places an unjust burden on American taxpayers. In yet another slap in the face to the rule of law, President Biden is now offering free health care to illegal migrants, a move that is not only unacceptable but illegal, said Congressman Pfluger. Funding health care for those who knowingly violated our immigration laws will only exacerbate the border crisis. The federal government must prioritize the well-being of American citizens and ensure that their hard-earned dollars are not being misused. I am proud to lead the charge enforcing the Biden administration to rescind this illegal policy. This administration has been asking American taxpayers to foot the bill for illegal immigrants, and now he wants them to pay for their health care, said Representative Fischbach. This is one more way President Biden is punishing hardworking citizens to benefit those who have broken the law. Rather than bending over backward for people who broke the law, President Biden needs to stop paying politics, protect our hardworking citizens, and get serious about the immigration crisis happening in this country.
Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, May 9th. Showdown looms over allergies. Dear Abby, I am allergic to a wide range of scents, perfume, cologne, laundry detergent, etc. When I am caught in someone's cloud, my sinuses and lungs burn, which causes instant wheezing and coughing. My husband's friend bathes himself in a scent akin to household cleaning powder. It's so strong, both of us can smell it in our house for more than a week after he visits. I avoid that friend like the plague and hide at the other end of the house, doors shut, yet I still suffer an allergic reaction. Forgive my being graphic, but his caustic scent gives me a bloody nose. My husband refuses to tell his friend about the health problems I suffer after he visits. He doesn't want to make him feel unwelcome or upset him by being rude. What about me? I can't go near the upholstered furniture the friend sits on for well over a week. There's no reason in the world why I should suffer in my own home. I'm afraid I'm going to explode in rage the next time he visits, embarrassing all involved. Could you please advise me how to tell the friend he stinks without being rude? Signed, Suffering in California. Dear Suffering, it isn't a breach of etiquette to tell someone you have an allergy problem you have been hesitant to discuss for fear of seeming rude. Call the friend before his next visit and explain that one of the products he is using causes you to have an allergic reaction that results in bloody noses. Then ask that he please not wear it when he's in your home. This may be a conversation that's uncomfortable for you, but to have it is essential. Dear Abby, ever since our daughter moved out, married, and had children, she has become a different person. She doesn't treat my wife like a mom. They used to be close, but now it seems my wife can't do anything right. She can't post pictures of the grandkids when others can, and she can't hug or kiss her grandkids when others can. When asked what she did to be treated this way, my daughter responds, "I don't know." I have had it to my wit's end with my daughter, because when my wife hurts, so do I. I'm ready to write her off and move on. What are we to do? Signed, Frustrated Grandparents. Dear Frustrated, your daughter may fear that her children will love Grandma more than they do her. You might ask your daughter if she would be open to family counseling, but don't be surprised if she isn't. If I'm right about that, then your idea of moving on and finding other interests with your wife to fill that empty space isn't a bad one. If she craves being around little children and needs to fill the time, perhaps she could volunteer for a program such as Foster Grandparents, in which volunteers work as aides in schools, daycare centers, Head Start programs, and family support centers. To find out more about them, visit AmeriCorps.gov. Contact Dear Abby at www.dearabby.com or Post Office Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.